In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Brothers and sisters in Christ, as we approach the time of Great Lent, the Church has had us sing this hymn, "Open unto us, O Lord, the gates of repentance. Open unto us the gates of repentance." And we find that those doors are opened by God's grace and mercy. No one is worthy in and of himself to enter into the presence of God. God has to open the gates, and he does that. We saw that last week as we considered the publican and the Pharisee. It was the humble Pharisee who walked through those open gates. The one who does not approach God seeking his mercy finds that there's no way into his presence. The Pharisee was the one who said, "I thank you, God, that I don't need to repent like that sinner over there." And as we saw in the icon last week, that's the one who went away and he was not blessed by God. The publican, on the other hand, the sinner, "Lord, I can't even look up into your presence. Have mercy on me." And as we noticed in the icon, he was the one who was accepted into the presence of God, a halo around his head. God in his mercy loved and accepted him. God opens the gates. We cannot go through those gates except by God's mercy. And so again today, we read what Deacon Jeff read, what is considered by many, many people to be the most famous short story ever told in the whole world. The Prodigal Son and the Loving Father. I would like to read one of the verses of this Prodigal Son that was written by our church that we've been singing for centuries. It goes like this, and you have to listen very carefully because it's so beautiful in its poetry. "I have been entrusted with a verdant and faultless region." Verdant is green. It's a prosperous region. I'll read it again. "I have been entrusted with a verdant and faultless region, but I planted evil in its soil and reaped its ears with the sickle of laziness. And I gathered my deeds, but placed them not on the threshing floor of repentance. Wherefore I ask thee, O divine husbandman, to winnow the straw of my deeds with the breeze of thy compassionate love, and fill my soul with the wheat of forgiveness. Store me in thy heavenly garners and save me, O Lord." I have often said that there is no transformation, there is no change in anyone's life except within the context of God's mercy and love. If we see God as this judge who is there to kill us, to do nothing more than punish us for our sins, we will never come into his presence. We will never seek him. But God is the one full of mercy. So we come seeking the breeze of thy compassionate love. Fill my soul with the wheat of forgiveness. Store me in thy heavenly garners and save me, O Lord. Among the strict Jews there was a saying, "There will be joy in heaven over one sinner who is obliterated before God." They looked forward to the day when sinners would be not saved, but damned and destroyed. In Luke chapter 15, Jesus told three parables about sinners and what God likes to do with sinners. When God sees a sinner, he sees someone who is lost and needs to be found. When God looks on a sinner, he sees someone who is dead and needs not to be killed, he's already dead. He needs to be given life. In the first parable of chapter 15, it's the parable of the lost sheep. And what does the shepherd do? He leaves the 99, he goes in search of the one that is lost, and when he finds it, he doesn't abuse that sheep for being dumb and careless. Rather, he brings it with loving arms on his shoulders, takes it back to the fold, and rejoices. And then there's that second parable in Luke 15, the parable of the woman who lost her coins. She lit a lamp and swept the whole house until she found it. And when she found it, she called all her friends and relatives and said, "Come, I found my lost coin. Rejoice with me." And then we come to this parable, the short story of the prodigal son and the loving father. And there too, it ends with joy. Joy, not because God has finally damned and destroyed all of his enemies and all those wicked people. Joy because God has come in compassion and love. He's opened the gates of repentance and the humble are coming in. People are being saved. And God and heaven is filled with joy. Notice first with me how the son is lost and the depths to which that young man has fallen. The young man, the younger son, comes to his father and says, "Father, give me the portion of the inheritance." I want to just stop here a minute. You know, like I said, this is one of the most beautiful short stories ever told. And there are different ways of approaching the story. And one outline that I found in preparation for the sermon was very, very good in terms of the way it used the word home. And it said it's divided into three parts, this parable. It's the young man who's sick of home. He's sick and tired of being home. He's sick of it. He wants to get out. The second part of the story is the story of the same young man who now says, "My, I'd like to go back home." He's homesick. First he's sick of home, then he's homesick. He wants to go back. And it ends with the embrace of his father. He's home. And there's joy. Well, anyway, the extent to which this young man fell, he's a heartless and callous and contemptible young man, cares nothing for his father except for the money. He said, in effect, "Give me now the part of the inheritance I will get anyway when you're dead. Let me get out of here." It's the equivalent to saying, "I wish you were dead. I want your money." And what does the father do? He gave him his share of the inheritance. And then the son went out and sold his share of the land and the family estate to someone else, which in that culture would have brought terrible shame on the family. Then he took the cash and he turned his back on his family and left home, again bringing more shame on his father and his family, leaving his father and not caring at all to care for his father in his father's old age. Then far away from home, he wasted his money in riotous living. And his degradation reached a further low point, for as Jews, to have anything to do with pigs is bad enough, but to be feeding them, to be eating with them, would have been to have lost all self-respect. And then he hit the bottom. And it says he came to himself. I don't know about you, but I sometimes wonder, why did the father give the prodigal son his inheritance? Why did he do it? Why did he let him leave home when he knew what shame his son would bring upon not only his family and his father, but also upon himself? Why did he let his son suffer so much pain and shame? Maybe it's because the father knew the only way his son would ever come to himself would be through that low time of suffering and shame. And that's the only way it would work. One certainly cannot question the love and compassion of the father. Maybe we shouldn't question the wisdom of the father either. Secondly, notice how the son came to himself and how this coming to himself led him back to God. In coming to himself, he acknowledged and recognized that he had been living in sin and that unless he returned to his father, it says he knew he would perish. It's not enough to acknowledge our sin. It certainly is necessary, but it's not enough. You know, Judas, and I refer to Judas quite often here, but it's worth repeating. Judas, for example, saw that Jesus was condemned. And when he saw that, he brought the money back to the chief priests and elders and said, "I have sinned, for I have betrayed innocent blood." Full of remorse, he threw the pieces of silver in the temple. And then what did he do? He went out and hanged himself. He was remorseful enough to admit his sin to himself and the chief priest, but he couldn't come back to the Lord and say, "I'm sorry, please forgive me. Accept me back." This young man, the prodigal son, came to himself not only recognizing his sin, but arose and went back to the Father. In all three parables of the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son, Jesus is not saying that people are fine just the way they are, and they just simply need to be accepted and need to accept themselves. Rather, sinners must repent. The lost sheep and the lost coin are found. The prodigal son comes to his senses and he returns home. Notice lastly, the love and compassion of the father. St. Augustine in his Confessions wrote concerning this parable words in the form of a prayer to God, and I quote, "Through prodigal living in a distant region, the son wasted what you, a kind father, had given to him. As he set out, you were kind in making him this gift, yet kinder still when he returned in need." End of quote. If there's one thing people really long for, it is a God who cares, who loves, and has compassion. And I close with these words from St. Ambrose of Milan. "God, who hears you pondering in the secret places of the mind, runs to you. When you are still far away, God sees you and he runs to you. He sees in your heart, he runs. Perhaps someone may try to hinder him, but he embraces you. He falls on your neck to raise one prostrate and burdened with sins, and bring back one turned aside to the earthly, back toward heaven. Christ falls on your neck to free your neck from the yoke of slavery and hang his sweet yoke upon your shoulders. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen."